Easy parking with Easy Trip. Now available at Dundrum Town Centre. So you can now use your toll tags to park in our car parks. Simply register at easytrip.ie/parking. Easy parking with Easy Trip. Dundrum, where more happens.
Welcome to
Naming It, where we discuss pop culture, current events, and how they relate to the way that we live our lives, all through the lens of two black psychologists.
Naming It is dedicated to acknowledging the elephant in the room, validating the lived experience of people of color. Coming to you from the Bay Area, California, we thank you for joining us.
I'm Dr. Bedford Palmer.
And I'm Dr. Lamisha Hill. Music on Naming It is provided by Lee England Jr., the soul violinist. Good morning, evening, afternoon.
Yeah.
Welcome to Naming It.
Welcome to Naming It, y'all.
Episode number 26.
Number 26.
26.
That's our special guest of episode number 26 is chiming on in. We got Dap in the building.
What's happening, y'all?
Dap from Really Dope Podcast.
I do not have a advanced degree. Wild card here.
Wild card.
What is that? That's not a requirement to get on the Naming It microphone.
What? I just want to let people know that you're stepping into new fields with the brand, right? It's like a PhD.
Have we had anybody who doesn't have a...
Yes.
Yeah, we have.
Yes.
Have we really?
One and a half.
I'm not sure.
Keep up with your lies.
So, if just for instruction's sake, if you wanted to see what it's like for someone to get called out on their privilege, this just happened on the show. All right, yeah. There we go.
Absolutely. All right, funny. So let's get into it and introduce our special guest.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So this bio, I must say, is probably one of the most unique and inspiring that I have read, and it made me laugh out loud right away, so I hope y'all enjoy it as well.
That's a fact. I was actually there when this happened.
So, Dap from Really Dope Podcast and Really Dope Media owns Timberland Boots and is committed to loving black women, eating good food, and diversifying media as he sees fit and while he can. He can be found yelling into the abyss and being snarky on various social media platforms. Originally from the Bronx, New York, Dap moved to Oakland in 2013 to pursue his dreams or, as you mentioned, a job.
I mean, yeah. Paying bills are considered a dream. That's a dream.
Yeah. Dap created Really Dope Podcasts to bridge his love of visual media and his love of the Bay in one format. And do you want to say a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah. Really Dope Podcast, Really Dope Radio. It started while I was at my job. And I was like, I hate my job because I wasn't writing about things I loved. So it actually started out as a blog in 2014, November 11th. Yeah, 11th. It's like the week before, the week of Thanksgiving. So it's always like a contentious time for me. Start out writing about, you know, movies and dumb stuff. And then kind of recruited a guy that is currently in Korea now, in South Korea, living his dream of teaching Korean children English. And from there, we just started building out more and more. And then in late 2015, we started Really Dope Radio, which is the podcast. We ran for 5 seasons, 50 plus episodes. And we're currently on hiatus as of today, the 18th of February. But we'll be back in like March or April. I haven't decided yet because it was a lot of work. And I want to make the next season like much more interesting and different. And also because we kind of came out the gate early, like we were rabbiting for the field, I would say. Like we came out the end of 2015. So like podcasts are still kind of big and cool, but they weren't as big as like everyone really recognized them to really be. Mm-hmm. And so throughout 2016, all of a sudden it was like, now like everyone's like, do you listen to Reed? Do you listen to Reed? Do you listen to this? Do you listen to that? And it's like, yeah, dog, like, but I'm also an early adopter. So like you asked me that and I'm just like, where have you been? But then all of a sudden everyone started hopping into the field. Right. So if y'all probably noticed, like every other month in 2016, it's a new podcast, Yeah. Everybody's like, I have a podcast now. And they're like, Shaq has a podcast. Hebel Burris has a podcast. It's like, whoa, like all of a sudden it's like even more oversaturated. So mm-hmm. I wanted to create something that didn't feel like we were just riding the wave. So that's why we're taking such a long hiatus, because I have to actually sit and like create gold in the basement before we release it to people. So that's why I'm here now. I have time to actually talk and hang out with my friends and stuff. So
yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Yeah.
So our next, want to get into what? What you got?
Well, you like paused. Like I was just saying, I was just affirming. I wasn't actually Lord. Trying to jump in.
What you got, Bedford?
Oh no, I'm just saying. Like it's cool to have Dap here. I've mentioned you multiple times, and you got on me because apparently mentioning you is a form of subtweeting. So like I've like said stuff, and then I've like tried to tweet it that I mentioned Really Dope or I mentioned Dap, and he's like, yeah, man, like. You know, why are you putting me out there about the sci-fi stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah, like, he was like, it was just funny because I was like, it's funny because I listen to pods all the time. Like, I have, like, regular pods I listen to, and I have pods that I try to, like, jump into, right? Because I run, like, I have, like, a local list. So for those who don't know, I have, like, a list of podcasts that's on my Twitter that I keep of just, like, indie creators, people of color, y'all on that list, obviously. And it's hard, like, podcast popped up every other day, so I try to go in. So I was like, listen, I was like, all right, I'm finally gonna get down to actually like get back into the catalog. And I'm sitting there like, okay, he's gonna mention me on this episode, maybe some dumb, whatever, like, because I'm a fool. And then you're like, hey man, I'm just mad that I haven't been on the podcast with Dap talk about sci-fi. And I was like, wait a minute. I was sitting there at the house just like looking at like who you were talking to, because I was like, I know he was talking about me. And I sort of just got at you because I was like, dog, like we're taking a break. Like, we're taking a break. It's like, this podcast don't make no money. We're not getting paid for this. I gotta
sleep. Tell the truth.
But you're gonna be one of the first guests when I get the lineup together. So, yeah, it's all love. But yeah, that was kind of a sub because I was like, what are you talking about? I feel like I told you that we were going to hiatus. Like, you know I'm not doing nothing right now.
You know, sometimes so, yeah, I just talk smack. I just, you know.
Yes.
What is that? You know what?
I'm just echoing back to you.
It's
because
he was hating on your ducks earlier.
I was. So Lamisha's wearing this green duck hat that looks like it's got, like, Donald Duck with the mascot.
His name is Puddles.
Puddles.
Yes. His name is Puddles.
Okay.
But this is the Fighting Duck logo that they put out a couple years ago.
Saying it real serious, but
yeah, it is serious. Like, you know, they changed the fonts, they changed the colors.
What's the duck sound like?
Sounds like victory.
Thank you.
Championships.
Woo.
Sounds like Nike. That's what it sounds like.
You know what?
Yes.
I mean, you know, if you want to jump on a bandwagon, you can jump on one, bro. I ain't from there, so I ain't representing.
Yes,
man. I stay on my teams.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Whose teams?
Yo,
is it your team or your girl's team?
Well, actually, I did my internship at Cal, so I can claim Cal teams. And
no, you can't.
But
you
tenuous.
What do you mean? You can.
Can't claim. I mean, I suppose you can claim where you work, but you worked there for how long?
It was a training program, wasn't it? It was part of a doctoral program. Mm. People have their whole identity around their internship. Don't even try it.
You just pulled a Trump.
Really?
You didn't even answer the question.
Huh?
She said, how long? And you said, people do that all the time. We do this. You know, uranium.
Hold on,
have you heard
of that? I'm a pull full time out because you just put my name with Chump over some ducks.
You didn't answer the question.
Nuclear over some ducks?
She asked you a direct question, and you said, I'm going to jujitsu my way out of that.
I really enjoy having Dap in the building. I feel like I'm getting a lot of backup.
You know what?
Usually it's just one-sided.
You want to see jujitsu. Jujitsu is about taking somebody's energy and flipping it back.
Because
I could have swore my brother said that sometimes you don't have, you just can't allow certain questions to like be expanded into argument because you can't allow the logic to become real. We were talking about that earlier, right?
Okay, but we were talking about Nazis.
You just called me Trump. So
I was creating a very valid analogy of she asked you a direct question. The question was, how long did you work there? You said people do this all the time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I could claim wherever I worked, it was a training program. Nowhere in there did it say let me speak your language. And nowhere was there a quantification of the amount of time at which you signed the contract and then your contract ended at said location. So
because the question, yeah. So I will answer that because the question's invalid. Because I was saying it was a training. I said it was a training program.
Wait, we defined the variables already.
Oh,
but you can't define my reality.
You cannot say that the question is not invalid if the variables are defined.
No, I can actually say the question's invalid. I can say it's a reliable question because the variables are defined. Validity is about whether you're actually asking a question that actually is getting to the answer that's true or not.
Right? And so welcome to the Gaslight Podcast, where we just gaslight each other for 40 minutes.
Thank you. Can we move on to something productive? Can we agree upon that? The Ducks are awesome.
Challenge me on
the champions.
My cow credibility and whatnot.
Many victors. Although one of our podcast supporters, my friend Ian Weller, would always remind me that the Ducks actually didn't win a championship, Misha. That's what he would say. They didn't win a national championship, Misha, but they won a lot of other things. So.
Yeah.
Not in football.
Yeah. Either way.
But they look the best.
That's okay.
See, now we're getting qualitative.
Up. Yeah.
now we got an exit stage left.
Okay. So yeah. Let's get into some shout-outs.
I wanted to shout out. I have a colleague, Dr. Gloria Sosa, here at St. Mary's, who I wanted to shout out because she just got a very prestigious faculty service award last night.
Oh,
and,
wonderful.
She absolutely deserves it. I mean, she's one of those people who, I mean, you just can't catch her not doing stuff for people. She's working with first-generation students. She's working with our Latinx students. She's working with our grad students. She's doing stuff in the community. She's a wonderful musician and artist, and she, like, mentors faculty, and she's just wonderful. So I wanted to, and I know she listens sometimes, so, you know, in a few months when you catch up, you will be surprised by this little shout-out because, you know, just mad love.
Congratulations, Gloria.
Great. Yeah.
And we met, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure y'all met.
Yeah, we met.
So what? Awesome. Yeah, she is. So what's your shout out?
You know what? I'm going to skip the shout out today.
Okay.
I don't have one.
Okay. You don't care about nobody. I see you.
You know.
Nobody was worthy this time around.
Apparently not.
No, not really.
Dang.
Rough.
Not even your dog?
Step your game up, Lamisha's friends.
You got anybody you
want to
shout out to?
Shout out to my mom. Shout out to my family. I was spent a lot of time with them over Christmas. I mean, I do that every Christmas, but I love my mom. I should call her more. I'll probably call her later today. Who else? Yeah, shout out to my mom and my family. That's about it. Okay. That's the easy one. But
wonderful. Right. So now let's get into some check-ins.
So, you know, for me, it's the first week of school. We're finally back from our winter, I guess it's January term, is what happens after winter break.
So you don't start back until
February.
February? Yeah.
Unless you teach during the Jan term.
I know, right?
That is like pretty standard. Like usually when you get Christmas break, it starts literally like maybe like the week before Christmas and then like what, till the last week of January?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what kind of like... I've taught during this term, and then you don't get a break, so that's even crazier. So instead of doing like a 13 week term, you're doing a 6 + 13 = 19 weeks. Mm. So that's a lot. So I was happy with my time out of class. It's not really a full break because since we're back in term, you're still doing stuff for the school, and I actually got to teach those two. Classes for the Black Lives Matter course and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's cool. It's the first week. It means it's impacted, but it means I also got to interact with a bunch of new students and then have students, you know, I'm a new professor, so it's kind of cool now. I'm starting to have classes where I have lots of students who I've already worked with come back in. Mm-hmm. And so it's a new semester, a new start, and that's my check-in. Nice.
Wonderful. So I've been going to a lot of plays. Last week I went and saw Rent down in San Francisco, and then last night I saw A Thousand Splendid Suns over at the Geary Theater, and it was really, really powerful. And I have never been personally into the performing arts, but I have a colleague who is all about it and encourages us to utilize our campus discounts and buy the tickets to the shows, and I really enjoyed it. So I've kind of stretched myself a little bit, doing a little too much going out, but I had a good time.
Okay. Nice. All right.
I'm the complete opposite. I've been doing all the staying in. it's been rainy, man. Haven't really been working on too much besides the blog, and we do a newsletter, so I send out like short films and videos and write little screeds at the end of every month. So if you're interested in that, you can sign up. Plug. But yeah, mostly I've just been enjoying Oakland and enjoying my time at home. Like, I work from home most of the time now, and Oakland's beautiful and my bed is beautiful. And I like both of those things, so.
All right.
Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. Do you have like a favorite like Oakland hangout or coffee shop, restaurant?
Make Westing is the watering hole.
Oh, is it? That's
yeah,
your spot?
That's the watering hole. And then Ozumo's used to be the spot.
Right.
But then Ozumo closed down in Oakland, so you have to go to the city now to go hang out. It's the sushi spot. And then a shout out to LV. LV is the soul food spot right across the LV owns the soul food spot right across the street from my house. Down on MLK, and every time I walk up in there, LV, I'm a regular now, so he'll be like, you want the usual? And I'm like, oh shit, I'm one of those people now. Like, he knows what I eat all the time. So yeah, LV's is my spot too. Shout out to LV's.
Alright.
Nice.
Alright, LV's, we gotta check that out at some point. So where we at? Are you gonna tell me to do the thing?
Play the jams.
Playing the jams, Joe. So go ahead, y'all do that.
What's going on?
Hey. No.
What's going on?
You just clip that and use that for the rest of the time. You got to do this.
All right. So what's going on?
So over the weekend, there was a very important live telecast event. An evening featuring many, many glamorous dresses, awards, red carpet.
Yeah. The Grammys?
Yeah.
Okay.
You watched it?
I did. It was interesting. I don't know. It's an award show and people get awards.
So I'm trying to get you to name it, Bedford. Can you just call in the elephant in the room? What happened at the Grammys?
Nothing for black folks. Apparently. It was Chance the Rapper got to do a praise dance and
he did a praise dance?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. He did like this whole, it was a good performance. He brought a choir out. It was wonderful. Beyonce basically.
Did she perform?
Oh yeah. She did like a couple of songs from Lemonade where she did, Sandcastles.
Uh-huh.
And she did the one where she's, You and Me Can Move Mountains, the one where she's on the chairs and all the chairs are kind of askew to the side.
Let's talk about those chairs.
Oh, yeah?
Those chairs were reinforced with everything. God's will, blessings of Muhammad, peace be upon him, Yahweh's touch. Because I think, before me speaking about their, I'll let you say it. What? Like how, like, that particular, like, when the chair...
Oh, when the chair back... Yeah. Okay, so if you watch the video, if you watch, like, the production of Lemonade, there's this... when one of the songs is going on, there are women who are sitting in chairs, and they're sitting... They're lying on their back, and the chair is lying on its back, and they're basically kind of miming sitting in it when they're actually lying down.
Oh,
and it's
okay.
Like this whole piece about orientation and like her kind of finding her, writing her space and writing her relationship. And in the Grammys, they did this, but they had her on this chair that had, it looked like a very like tenuous, like, very fragile hinge where the chair does basically the lean back, kind of like Michael Jackson in Smooth Criminal, but she's in this chair and she's fully pregnant. Like, this is Beyonce full pregnant, right?
Yeah.
And it leans her back, and I promise you, it scared me. I was like, what the heck? Like, I knew, in my head, I'm like going through it processing, like, they must have practiced this. This must be reinforced. There's no way that this is going to fail. But it looked like the way they did it was so well done that it looked like she was going to fall. But like that, I mean, I feel like that gets us ahead of stuff because you got to understand, like, the way she came out. And I told my partner this, I was like, she did this thing where she had like a pre-film, and then like it would like morph into her in person and live. But like she did this thing where she fully went into the goddess thing that meme that people uh-huh. kind of put onto her.
Right.
She fully accepted it to the point where I was joking with my partner. I was like, you know, there's a bunch of Christian folks who are a little uncomfortable right now because she went deep with it. But no one else could pull that off. I mean, mm-hmm. like, it was amazing. The whole performance was amazing. She was the queen of music. Mm-hmm. Not the Grammys, you know, not Hollywood in the moment. Mm-hmm. Not like the 20 teens, like, music pop cultural moment. I'm talking about take a woman in music anytime, or a person in music anytime, at any point, and put them against her performance right there, and you're gonna have a real conversation. You know what I'm saying?
But what conversation didn't happen was, I guess, amongst those judges who were making some decisions about who was going to be awarded what.
I mean, who's the judges though, right? It's like the whole like industry that does that, right? So it's not even.
Yeah. So the Academy for the Grammys, I believe, is similar to the Academy for Visual Moving Arts, whatever the hell it's called these days, like the Oscars, right? So past a certain point, you get an invite, I think, to be a voting member. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, if you're Joe Schmo from Oakland and you've made 6 albums, but those albums sold kind of well, you could probably vote for the Grammys.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so what has occurred is that, like, I think over the last 16 years, there's only been a couple of wins for the best album or the best artist that have been non-white. And it's just like the Oscars in that way, mm-hmm. where it's obvious that, I mean, Adele did a great job on her album. I'm sure it's wonderful. It's about her. The way I took it is, it's about her self-growth and her coming back out. But Lemonade was about mm-hmm. womanhood and about Black intersectionality and about relationships. I mean, it was much more global than, you know, this woman who basically saying that I had a hard time becoming a rich star and therefore I need to come reassert myself. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I, if you're an Adele fan and you want to get mad at me, fine. But Adele said it herself that she shouldn't have got the award.
Okay, so let's get into that whole thing. Like, did she actually not accept the award? Because I watched it and I was a little confused.
No, she took that thing in the back. She didn't get. Yeah. She didn't walk that down to
so
Beyonce.
They, yeah, they're making it sound like she broke it in half and it was so defiant. And
so we kind of have like a Diddy and what's Shorty's name? Jennifer Lopez shooting in the club situation, right? Where there are only a certain amount of witnesses, but somebody went to jail, right? Shine went to jail for it. So in this situation, I think the breaking of the Grammy happened backstage, right? And then there's maybe a picture or something from some random outlet, but the official picture is her holding all the Grammys that she got.
Right.
And then she did backstage comments or like sideline comments, right? And that's where everybody was talking about of her talking about, well, like, you know, what the fuck does like Beyonce have to do to get an award and, you know, like blase, blase, blah, whatever. Like she was standing. She's a stan. I appreciate that. But yeah, it's one of those things where like, all the official photography, the official narrative is that at the end of the day, she still accepted those awards.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to see her speech. I know her speech was also referential to Beyonce as well. But I mean, I got feelings about that. So,
sure.
Yeah. Okay. So there's like 3 things going on, Ren. Right. I think one, let's talk about the dog whistle you brought up earlier of global music.
Right.
I personally think between the voting committees and whatever and everything else, the real issue is and per the article that you sent, which I hope will be in the notes, the end of the podcast notes, shout out to being thorough, is like there's this issue of ownership, right? And so the thing about Beyonce, in a myriad of ways, is that pop music is about, after a certain point, you belong to the culture, right? Or you belong to the mainstream culture because it's about, you know, going into this world of abandon, feeling happy or feeling something, having a moment of pathos attached to whatever feeling or association, and that being a global feeling, right? The reason I was talking to a good friend about this, and she was like, and she's an Adele stan. She was like, I think Adele didn't deserve Album of the Year, but she definitely deserved Song of the Year because 25 or Hello was a moment in the mm-hmm. culture. Like, mm-hmm. you couldn't talk to anyone at any given point who wasn't feeling it if they had listened to the song.
Right.
But to your point, on the other side of it, Lemonade was a moment everywhere, right?
Right.
But it was a moment that, as much as it was global in these larger narratives of womanhood, of understanding of relationships, it was very central and focused on a Black womanhood experience. And very, even much more specifically, and Beyonce's kind of hinted at this and talked about this herself, on a Southern, deep Southern Black experience. Mm-hmm. So there's like a whole lot of stuff going on there, like a Black American experience. So I think that lack of centricity of centering a global message, which is really a lack of centering of whiteness and of white womanhood, is what caused that shift, right? So that for Adele, everyone can attach themselves to Adele because Adele is white, and because at the end of the day, whiteness can be centered in a way that it allows you to attach yourself to it even if you're non-white. Right. Versus there's some strictures attached to Beyonce's experience, even if you are Adele, right? And she got kind of dinged for that, where she was like, you know, how you make my Black friends feel is really important and blah, 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 blah. I understand where she's coming from. Was it the right verbiage? Probably not, but whatever. Like, I think she does genuinely love Beyonce, but my feeling at the end of the day, point three, is until we have a white artist that shows up and says, X, Y, and Z, you need to come up here and take this award, I actually will not accept this award, or I'm going to give you this award in front of the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff is kind of wishy-washy. Like,
right.
And that isn't to really take away from Adele, but it's really to point at the fact that if we're going to talk about symbolism, if we're going to talk about allyship, it's really about that fact of understanding that it has to be more than just words. It has to be the physical act of, you know, foresighted people and everything, like people seeing that and understanding
right.
that this artist, you know, regardless of what articles come out and what they say, you have to see that on the ground. It has to be televised, because everything to this point, even for all there are so many Grammys that get. Like, we think of the Grammys as, like, this televised event, right?
Right.
But the Grammys is dumb long. There's hella stuff that they don't telecast. There's, like, a whole, like, you know, Latin section. There's, like, this, there's that, there's that, da-da-da. And there are hella people of color that get awards here and there, but they don't get them for, like, the big ones that they televise.
No, they get them, like, in the urban section for Beyonce, Latin section for folks, like, in Latin, from Latin America. Like, it's...
So it's about the politics of symbology. I'm about to get very academic. It's about the politics of the symbology of the televised nature of the event, right? And so it's about having to see it. And so if it hasn't been seen, like I said, we can debate what happened and did she break it? Did she not? Like, what did she say? But I think it would have been a much more powerful moment if she was like, I'm actually not accepting this. Like, I'm not taking this. Keep that. I'm walking off stage. Like, thank you for recognizing me. But Beyonce should have that award. Y'all should make a new one and whatever.
I would go with that. I think because what I connected with is like the Macklemore Kendrick Lamar piece, where it's the same kind of situation.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, you should have got this. But then you take it, you take the money, you take all the like endorsements and all the other stuff that go with it. So you really are like not. You know, I know you said, like, you know, it's not taking from Adele, but I'm sorry. If people want to reduce and relinquish their privilege, then they have to do things that actually would actually reduce and relinquish that privilege. I think that if you know that your stuff, if you're a white person going for one of these awards and you know you're not as good as the person across from you who's a person of color, then maybe you should start thinking about, at least for a while, pulling yourself from the nomination. You know, don't even let it come to that. Because what we're seeing is that and I think like the article that I sent to you, it's a NPR article from Ann Powers. It's called Problems with the Grammys Is Not a Problem We Can Fix. And it kind of speaks towards this idea of institutionalized racism. Because we have this voting system that is so based in opinion and in general, like, kind of popularity, there's a way for people to not take responsibility for their actions when they're doing these votes. And it's so diffuse in its responsibility that there's really very little that can be done without actually fully changing the system or changing who they're pulling from. You know, because if you have a system where most of the artists and most of the producers and most of everybody in the industry are white and white focused, you know, then how do you ever have people of color or, you know, folks who don't fit into your standard norm win these large awards that do come? And I do want to reiterate, because I think some people are like, what does it matter? It's like, no, it matters because there's a huge amount of monetary compensation that goes with winning these awards. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about wealth distribution. And mm-hmm. if wealth is constrained to only white artists, then what does it mean for black people coming into the industry and being able to get our own? We always wonder why don't black communities ever blow up? Why can't we do what other immigrant groups have done or other groups? Like, why can't we do what mainstream white people do? It's because we're held away from the space where wealth can be built. You know, so even though Beyonce and Jay-Z are billion-dollar people, they're still getting discriminated against. What does that mean?
Right.
When you talk about meritocracy, mm-hmm. right?
Not real. Fake news.
So I'm sure our listeners have some other thoughts to say on this piece. And so if y'all want to chime in about, you know, Grammy So White and Adele and Beyonce and everything between, give us a shout out. Give us a call at 607. You name it. Let us know your Twitter handle and share your thoughts.
Yeah.
And shout out to Reign of April, by the way, for starting the So White naming convention. She's the creator of Oscar So White. And has made many movements in the film industry because of that. Like, mm-hmm. as we can see, with the Oscar season coming up.
Right. Say that name one more time.
Reign of April. That's Reign of April on Twitter. Reign, like a queen or royalty reigning, not like rain, like it's raining. Think her real name is April Reign. So R-E-I-G-N. Check her out on Twitter. She's done lots of posts and stuff across. And if you've heard of Oscar So White, that's the woman, the black woman who created it. Bam. In your face. Boom, yeah.
There you go.
So next up, we're going to get into some real talk with our special guest, Dap, to speak a little bit more about his work in really dope media and the intersections of black art. So now we're going to get into some real talk.
Real talk.
You want to get in on that too?
Real talk.
Here we go.
Real talk, real, really real.
So really just a one-on-one conversation, you know, with Dap, our special guest, and get into a little bit more about the work that you're doing in the community and all of your awesome perspectives and insights. So can you tell us a little bit more about Really Dope Media?
But Black Dynamite, I sell drugs to the community. it's a film reference.
It was.
I got that. So Really Dope Media, that's R-E-E-L-Y-D-O-P-E. One word, y'all. One word. We're literally doing this branding thing, and I'm tired of seeing it spaced. I'm tired of seeing it in ways that isn't what it is. So it's one word. It's okay. It's one word. Sorry, I'm like an advertising word. Guy in yeah. my, like my daytime job, and it's really hard when you see people break like brand like rules.
So to be clear,
one word.
Okay.
All right. Two E's.
Yeah. Like a reel, like a fishing reel or a film reel, you know? Ha. Okay. That's the only time I make that joke. Really Dope Media is a thing. It's a collective. It's like three or four people most of the time. Me, Kev, our creative director, Adam, who's in South Korea, Petty Betty, who you can catch in these streets, and then like our like rotating list of writers and stuff and guests. And we start as, like I said earlier, we start as a blog. So we write film reviews, media reviews, features, things like that, mm-hmm. and really try to create space to talk about stuff from a relatable point of view. And so like my background is like I have a bachelor's degree. From a unnamed university, and I majored in film and English and all that good stuff. So like I have like some training in like the formal aspects of these things. Mm-hmm. And one thing that kind of got me a lot is like film critique, media critique. And this is like coming out in like, you know, when I went into school in 2009 and I graduated in 2013. So through those times and then even afterwards, like the critique is really old and white. And it's very much for film critique too. Like it's like mm-hmm. old white dudes, or it's like middle age-ish and youngish white dudes. Like it's kind of like what people think when they think of gamer bros. It's the same thing. Like it's all these dudes writing about stuff from a very particular angle, and there's a very clear line of ascension for that. And for me, I was like, you know, I've sat in all these film classes, watched all these movies, and we never really, like, we were talking about the film program I came out of is very much focused on the critique and the analysis. So it's not much about the social analysis or all the other things that come and make those films what they are outside of the technical and formal aspects of them. And so when I started Really Dope, the whole idea was, one, just write about shit that I liked. And, you know, like all the obscure, interesting, strange things that I watch. But then also really hit it from a viewpoint of, like my mantra is I'm a homeboy with a keyboard. Like I wanted Really Dope to be, and I want it to be, that recommendation that you get via text message from your friend or from your partner or whatever that you trust in a way that has more weight to it than just, this is an amazing film because it calls back to these films and, you know, Caillou du Cinema and all. It's we can have that. We can have like the formal and kind of like the very vested academia attached to it. But it's really much more about, are we speaking your language? Are we speaking the colloquial? And are we actually pushing a message to you that actually makes you want to talk about this stuff or think about it? And the podcast was an extension of that, right? Where it was like, we're just homies on a couch and we're going to talk for like an hour, 2 hours or hour and a half, 40 minutes. But it's going to be interesting conversation. It's going to feel like conversation that you have with your friends about stuff. Like when you walk out of a movie, you're like, yo, her hairline was messed up the whole time. Why couldn't they get a better wig? Or like we want to talk about that type of stuff, because as much as, you know, who the cinematographer was and who scored the film and everything else is important, films are also very much these realms of fantasy, right? And they're these realms of, even when they're nonfiction films, they're these fictionalized realms that allow us to enter worlds where we want to see ourselves, or we're understanding someone else through that realm. And so it's really a lot of those tiny human details, in addition to the larger swaths and things that make films, they're what affect us. Mm-hmm. And part of the issue when you have like these older film critics and stuff like that is they're not thinking about that, right? Like they're so vested in the establishment, as we were talking about, that like they're just like, oh, well, I'm just going to write about this, and this. And like, yeah, they'll have little throws here and there, but like they're not really talking in the language of the people who are actually paying money to go see these films. And that was my thing, was like, we need to talk like the people who are going to pay to see these movies or not going to judge your life. Financial security is a thing, and so is financial insecurity. So shout out to everybody who's watching stuff one way or another. but this podcast does not condone however you are doing it if you're not paying for it. But that's really what it came about. And so we've had lots of really interesting conversations, and throughout the seasons, things branched out. So like we were talking to local rappers, we were talking to local artists, we were talking to just people in general, like really actually sitting down with people and say like, hey, like, what's your favorite film? Like talking to other filmmakers. Like I got to sit down with Justin Tipping, who directed Kicks, which is a local film, through A24. And then strangely after that, I ended up at the Ritz at like 11 o'clock in the morning talking to Barry Jenkins about Moonlight. Before like all the media blitz happened. So I'm sitting here with this dude, and now I see him on TV, and I'm just like, that's wild. Like we shared the same oxygen for like 15 minutes.
So Barry Jenkins.
Barry Jenkins.
Barry Jenkins.
Yeah.
And that's the star from Moonlight?
That's the director.
The director. Okay. Yeah. My bad. Because there's this thing about the actor from Moonlight. What's the brother's name?
Trevante Rhodes.
Trevante Rhodes.
Shout out to University of Texas. Austin. Hook 'em horns.
No, Bedford always gets on me about the actor who's also in Moonlight. He's also in Fences.
Mahershala Ali?
Yes.
Wait, is Mahershala's not in Fences?
No. Sorry. Hidden Figures.
Hidden Fences?
Well, I saw Hidden Figures last night, so.
Yeah, that brother's from Oakland, too.
So, is
yeah.
he?
Yeah. He's married, girl.
I know he's married!
It was the inflection in your voice. She was like, is he?
See what I'm talking about? Getting the vapors over here. You know?
No. Let's keep it real. We're talking about
She's literally hiding under the table now.
We're talking about some very fine, very intelligent, very powerful black man.
I told you that man was married, and Bedford keeps getting on me every single week about him. Hey, I'm like, the man is married. You know, I don't know if he's a media personality.
People talk about this stuff. People will be on Will Smith and Jada Pickett. Like, they know.
No, it's fine. Lust after who you need to lust after. He's been my man crush for a while. I've been writing about this for a while. There's a piece I haven't published yet that I talk about how he's been my man crush. But no, Mahershala's from out here too. He's also in Kicks, which you should go watch. Support. But yeah, we've done a lot of wild stuff. Like, it's like, I look back and, like, 2016 was kind of a trash year for me. I mean, it's a trash year for everybody if you care about things. But looking back, I was like, holy snap. Like, I really was, like, sitting down with these people who are, like, actually influencing the culture now in big and small and in myriad ways. So that was the thing for me is, like, staying very local, right? Mm-hmm. Like, really supporting the local scene, which is our whole thing. And then having these real-ass conversations. And making it accessible to where you're not going to sit there for hour-long podcasts and it's like, oh my God, if they don't stop talking about shot lengths and everything else, like, I'm literally just going to jump out a window and that will be a better situation for me than listening to this. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to be boring and we wanted to share. So, yeah, that's kind of our thing, the long spiel.
That's awesome. All right. So I also want to kind of get your perspective on, and I know that this is true, but I just want to hear sort of in your own words, how you feel that the work that you do with Really Dope and or just film in general really mm-hmm. intersects with social justice, how we can like bring that into the folds even more than perhaps it is and perhaps it can be showcased a little bit more fluently for, you know, mainstream. To really see the power of film in that way.
Well, if you ask Mr. Palma, Dr. Palma across the desk from me, he'll say that I'm a social activist. Because we had this conversation last time I was here.
Yeah.
I don't accept that label mostly because, or I don't label myself as such, mostly because I know activists and I know the things that they do and like the things they put on the line. And I just, there are things that I'm not comfortable doing like that. And so I will always have just kind of been the... I've always been the crossroads guy. I've always been at the crossroads helping connect people mm-hmm. and making sure that like things like that happen. And so we talk about building platforms. So for me, I think I see Really Dope as a burgeoning platform that I'm working really hard to build and make it bigger and better and stuff and more refined in terms of little logistical things that we're working out. And so I see that as my contribution, right? Mm-hmm. Is that oftentimes what you see is, you know, speaking of artists and things like that is like, well, not Beyonce. Beyonce has all the platforms. But, you know, let's say Beyonce before she was Beyonce, right? And it's like, dude, like, I know this girl. She's from Houston. She makes this amazing music, but nobody's listening to her, right? Like, I essentially want to be the radio DJ that's playing Beyonce's song before she was Beyonce. Mm-hmm. But for local media and for visual media coming out of Oakland and coming mm-hmm. out of the East Bay in particular. And so I think... Because without that DJ, right, without those people who are like, yeah, sure, like, we'll put you on the show or mm-hmm. we'll do this, like, the blah, 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 like, Beyonce may not have been where she is now, right?
Right.
And when we talk about It Takes a Village, it's really about it takes platforms and it takes mentors and it takes connections and it takes honest conversations, it takes a lot of money, you know, it takes influence. And my thing is trying to approach it from that perspective as much as we're trying to make names for ourselves. Also seeing it as like, if we can put somebody in a space where, oh, well, maybe they didn't know how to do a podcast. Now they do, or they never been on a podcast before, but now they're a little bit more media trained. Like, we're willing to be that kind of breeding ground. And I mean, I do that even with our writers. Like, we can't pay any of our writers because everything's come out of pocket. But my conversation I have with writers is, listen, you just got to pitch me a good idea or I'll direct something to you and go write it. Fam, like, I really don't care. Like, as long as it's like within like certain lanes, go do it. But like, we will work with you, we'll edit with you, all that different type of stuff, because I actually want to see people write about this. I want people to feel comfortable doing this, because there's so many of us, especially people who look like us, like Black folks, that don't feel empowered to talk about these things or build these things out, whether it's a podcast, whether it's, you know, even just a note, or even if it's just like a film, right? Like, building platforms and connecting those. And I think that's the first part for burgeoning activists and artists and artivists and whatever other label you want to use is mm-hmm. knowing that you can do it and then being able to talk to people who are welcoming you in, like calling you in and saying, dog, like, how do you want to make it happen? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, one, what do you know what you want to do? Right. Like, how do you want to contribute to the struggle? But then, like, do you know what you want to do? Mm-hmm. And then after you know, like, you know, who is going to give you that shot? And so my thing is, I say this like I'm like some like big shot, but like literally like I'm always trying to connect people. I'm always trying to be like, okay, like, well, I know such and such and sure you can hook up with this, or I'll give you a microphone, or we'll mm-hmm. do this, or mm-hmm. let me sit down with you for 2 hours and consult you about building a podcast out. Because I guess that's my activism, is like there's so much stuff that's locked behind circles, that's locked behind mm-hmm. knowledge, that's locked within different walls of privilege and in groups.
Right.
And my thing is, let's make as many of those techniques and skills and things available, even if it's just being comfortable talking about stuff that you like, which I think especially as people of color, especially as Black folks, we don't get space to be like, well, I just like this or I just like that. And I can't necessarily like pinpoint why. One, because maybe I don't have like the academic knowledge, but then also because like no one listens to me, right? So I was like, fuck it, I like talking. We're just going to create something where we can just talk forever. Even if it's just creating that space. So that's me, is like creating space and creating platforms for people to actually have access to know what the hell they want to do or to further that vision in whatever direction they're going.
Right, absolutely. Go ahead, Bedford.
And because what you were referring to about being here before, it wasn't actually being on the podcast, but being here at St. Mary's, where we, Dap came in and he spoke to some of my students about podcasting and Black podcasting and just like kind of, it's a Black Lives Matter course that we were doing. And he gave his time for that. And that was really awesome. And the thing that we were, I'm not at all trying to invalidate your argument. Mm-hmm. What I would say is that one of the things that is maybe a subtext of what we're doing is trying to show people that you can engage in activism and engage in socially just behavior across the board in different ways you do stuff, you know? So like you said, like, you know, you're doing the things that you do really well, but you know, you could be choosing to enact this life in a way that wasn't, you know, socially just and socially active, you know, and it might be more lucrative if you did that. We just did our Real Talk one-on-one with Dr. Rebecca Toporek from San Francisco State. And what she said is she heard from a Black Lives Matter activist that our activism is figuring out what we do really well and doing it ferociously, right? And I think that that's what you do in terms of putting together this podcast game and like this whole media empire that you're building, this burgeoning, maybe I know you before you demur, I'll say a media fiefdom that you're kind of building up we're subjects in, because you definitely brought us into a crew that helped us kind of focus what we're doing.
Absolutely. Listen, we just had drinks at a pizza spot and they connected with people. That's what happened.
That is not what happened.
Yo, King Arthur was just around a round table with some people just chilling and talking. You know what I'm saying? And he just said, you know, this table's round. Let's talk. You know what I'm saying?
I think on the real, and this is what is just so, I think, beautiful, is not only I feel the humility, but what you had mentioned about giving openly to others, and that is your form of activism, is very, very true. And we feel so much gratitude for you being welcoming, for you sharing information and sharing that knowledge with us here at Naming It. And that has helped us tremendously. And that's just a gift that, you know, we can't repay you for that. So we appreciate it.
I know we're Costco age people, as you said earlier.
Oh man!
But we're still thankful, brother.
Yes,
Costco age.
Sorry.
No, I appreciate it. I think that's just always been who I am. But then also part of that, right, is like for me, like I have a film background, right? So, and the more I say it, the less I do it, the more I need to stop claiming it. But because everything's new now, but. I was more on the visual side, right? So I knew how to set up cameras. I knew how to do different things like that. Like I knew how to write, but I didn't necessarily know like audio production. And so part of why I'm so giving, especially for this stuff, is one, like most of us have enough money to spend on stuff. So most of the stuff isn't really expensive. The most expensive thing really is the microphone, because almost everyone has a computer. But the thing for me was like sharing that information, because I came up, like I didn't know how to podcast, like 2 years ago. Like I was sitting here like, damn, how am I gonna get this idea off the ground, dog? Like how are we gonna do this? And literally, like one reason why I appreciate and why we're taking this hiatus is why I appreciate the year of everything we did was those 50 plus episodes, that was us also working the game out, like trying to figure everything out. Like some of our early episodes are trash, like from an audio quality perspective in my point of view. And so, because we were learning everything as we were going. So my thing is like, that learning, there's a really heavy learning curve for some of this stuff, especially if you have no idea what you're doing in terms of like relating to a microphone, right? Because there's so much technology we take for granted, like even in your phone. Right. So I was like, if we're going to do this Oakland Pod Gang thing, if we're going to talk, if we're going to have like meetups or whatever we have going on, need to put as much as information out front because people need to know what they're dealing with and also be able to spend less time making trash, is a better way to put it. Just because, like, people want to talk about making great product, but they don't really know that it takes a certain amount of trash to be created to get to that great product. That, I mean, it's that This American Life video quote, right? Where it's like, your taste is not going to align with what you actually produce for a really long time, but you have to keep working towards that. Like, that's the curve that you have to keep working towards. And so for me, it's like, if you know much more of the techniques and understanding how hard it's going to be up front in terms of what you want to create and actually know how to navigate, that helps you circumvent a lot of that struggle of just getting along that curve. So that's why I'm so open, is like, I want to hear great podcasts. I don't want to be sitting, listening to some stuff, and it looks, you know, it sounds a little mid, and, you know, like, maybe y'all just don't know what you're doing, or this, that, and third. And not to be like, everyone has to come into line with one thing, but greatness is possible. It's just, I want to help facilitate much more of getting to that greatness. Because you don't need to, if you don't have to be sitting around doing it for years to get to greatness, let's do that. Like, if you can come out with lemonade next year in terms of, like, you know, naming it the podcast, let's make that happen.
So. I feel you. And I have a little personal story, too, is that, you know, my sister lives abroad in Paris, and she has a podcast, apparently, because I showed up in her beautiful apartment. And I was like, you have a Yeti? Why do you have a Yeti? She's never produced it. And her podcast was like, she just wanted to two black girls abroad, like her and her other African-American friends that live abroad and talking about different things. And she's like, but I don't know. And I was like, and not in a pretentious way, but she's drank so much champagne in Paris, she could have a podcast just about champagne. Like, just
listen,
about
that's how Gary
champagne.
V got started.
And I'm like, dude, I was like, just do it. She's like, yeah, but, you know, we don't this. And then, you know, this isn't right. And that's not right. It's like, just put it out there. Like, just go ahead and launch. But maybe, you know, we can get you out to Paris and we can help.
Take a little trip. But, you know, but you're completely right. It's like, you have to put that stuff out there, because the one weird thing about podcasts too, and if you're fortunate enough to have feedback, is also getting that feedback. Because so I'll give you a personal story as well. So when we first were doing the podcast, I was editing and optimizing audio for earbuds. Right. And so I was like, cool, if we can have the optimal ear level for earbuds, you're good. Right. Mentor of mine reached out. He's like, hey, dude, I put this on in my car. I can't hear this shit. Like, what do you, like, you need to know your history about the loudness wars and everything, but you need to pump this thing up to like 6 dB or whatever. So then it was like it was a design flaw. Right. Where it's like, I'm thinking of designing for one particular experience and not understanding that there was another market that was playing this on speakers, playing it in cars. So then you have to readjust everything, right? So one thing about that is, like, you have to produce that trash so people look at it and say, hey, well, actually, you could compost that. And then you're like, oh, snap, I didn't even think about compost. And then next thing you know, you have a great backyard garden of product because someone told you that maybe what you're creating wasn't necessarily the environment they need to be in. It needed to be another environment. So that's a very twisty-turny analogy, but the point is, create, put it out there.
I mean, that happened with us. I remember when we first started, like, we were agreeing a lot. Like, we were just this happy flower land. Me and Lamisha, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, we're just going to be affirming psychologists. We're going to make, you know, and then someone was like, y'all need to have some discord going.
There needs to be some controversy.
Like, we had, like, one little moment of just, like, kind of like, I don't know if I agree with you. And people were like, do that. You know? And so, and it's not that it's ingenuous. It's like, I think before we were being less genuine than we are. Like, now we just be real. We just talk to each other. And we don't agree on everything. We agree on a lot of stuff. But it the texture of the relationship, people talk about the relationship a lot. And I don't know that that was what we were thinking was the
going to be the thing.
We were like, we're going to talk about psychology and we're going to make people understand these theories and they're going to understand finally. And it's like, nah,
no,
we're just going to talk and y'all going to kick it with us.
We rant and, you know,
talk
trash about each other in a loving way.
But that's also understanding the medium, right? Like, why people like The Read or Combat Jack, and I don't want to name all the loudspeaker network shows because they got enough advertising.
Right.
No shade. But, you know, one of the reasons why people like these shows, like Let the Record Show, which is recorded in Oakland, you know, is it's that immersive experience. And so y'all are thinking of, like, you know, as educators, as teachers, as scientists, you know, from the soft science perspective is you're Hold thinking up. Of...
Oh, God. Brother, no. Can you just let some slide?
No, no.
Just let it
Ain't
slide.
Soft about...
Bedford, he was
I'm just saying.
No, he looked at me. He knew what he was doing right there.
No, so the soft thing, everything's
no,
so personal.
I know there's a difference. I know
defend.
There's a difference.
You not have soft to about.
Point is, from a scientific perspective, yes. right, y'all are thinking, it's funny because it's very linear thinking, right, which is like, I'm going to teach, people are going to learn, and there will be a product, and that product will be people who have learned, right? But then when you think about the medium, if the medium is immersive, and then you're talking about the attraction of the medium, right? And if you're mm-hmm. like, you're just agreeing with each other, you're essentially a textbook, right? It's like, yeah, 2 + 2 = 4. And she's like, yeah, it's totally 4. Don't y'all love that? And it's like, but I'm not here to sit down and listen to a textbook, right? Like, right. I'm sitting here listening to people, and people have, as you said, textures and layers and complexity. And the greatest thing about podcasts and why they're so good for certain things is that it's immersive in the sense that people gain things through the osmosis of whatever the relationship is with the host or their relationship with the narrative or their relationship with whatever they're hearing, right? Mm-hmm. And so then the learning actually happens when people see the dynamic between y'all actually clashing or building or talking through stuff versus y'all just trying to directly or linearly give something to people. Because mm-hmm. people get things through that and not necessarily through whatever. Because they could go buy a psychology book. They could, right. you know, right. they could go to school. But that's not how we learn stuff. Like, you don't, like, really learn a language. You don't learn Spanish, like, sitting down and being like, yo hablo en español. Like, you learn it by immersing yourself. You learn it by speaking it. You learn it. And so I think what's really important is that y'all realize is that the learning actually comes from y'all being the conduits of your experience and the experiences of your practice, but then also experiences of how you interpret the learnings that y'all have. Mm-hmm. And then people learn that, right? Because people become better people by other people showing them how to become better people by them being better people and not necessarily being like, be a better person. Like, yeah. what does that mean, dog? It's like, yeah. be like, be a man. What does that mean? What does
yeah.
that mean?
Yeah. We can have a whole yeah. nother episode
yeah.
on that.
Right? So, yeah, sorry. It's a long, long
No, time. That was real talk.
It was definitely real talk. So that takes us down into our self-care tip of the week, the power of film.
Right.
Whether
power of film.
Whether old or new, there's something magical about getting lost for a few hours in front of an animation, romantic comedy, or exciting thriller. Film can promote fantasy or help you access a side of yourself through a character. This week, choose a film that you can lose yourself in, feel deeply, and intentionally access a part of yourself, be it humor, sadness, or courage.
All right. So it's like getting immersed in and spending time maybe being outside of yourself, dealing with it, like trying to be in someone else's shoes. That's I like that. That was my way when I was in grad school. I had a lot of, there's a reason, like I talked to my students, they were like, how do you watch all these TV references? It was like, well, I was in the middle of nowhere. There wasn't yeah. a lot of stimulus around, and being able to kind of lose myself in other realities for a moment, it was great. You know? Right.
But I think you can also like tap into those feelings. Like, you know, if you see someone being courageous or express love or forgiveness, you know,
yeah,
you can feel it too.
Yeah.
And find it in yourself.
Yeah. What's most powerful for me actually is when I see moments of connection and understanding that like connect to like important pieces in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, like, you know, I'll be real about it. I tear up when I see like these exchanges between fathers and sons or like between good friends. It's like, it's not that, and I don't want to get this twisted, like I love the pieces with mom and son and stuff like that, but those are more common. It's like the
it's okay
male
if it resonates with you.
Well, no, because I don't want, I one, my mom might be listening. I want, mom, I love you. I care about these pieces, but what I'm saying is that it's really when I see men bonding in ways that are really genuine and isn't based on punching each other or we have to drink and like
mm-hmm.
do all these things that are like hyper masculine, but like just like honest, loving moments between two friends or between brothers or between a father and a son or whoever, it hits me a little harder. And it for me, and we can, you know, maybe another episode we might talk about this, is like you can use that in order to learn more about your emotional landscape.
Yeah. So what's your favorite film, Bedford?
Oh, God, that's a hard question.
Well, for this topic.
My favorite film for this topic, I don't know. I wasn't ready for that question. I think there's a lot of films that get me. There, you know, at the end of Flight, there's a scene between Denzel Washington and his son, and Denzel Washington's character and his son, when Denzel is like talking to him from jail, and it's like the son is, they're trying to reconnect and have and re-understand each other, and it just messed me up. You know, I was just like, woof. You know, but I can't get too detailed because I have to relook at it. But that's what I would say.
I would say that one of my absolute favorite films, and I just don't know why it just speaks to me, is Have Plenty.
I don't know that one.
It's before. It's a 90s romantic comedy, a black film, and I love it. It's just one of my favorites. I could watch it, you know, every year.
All right. Anything that any really heavily emotionally affecting films for you, Dad?
Boy, oh boy. You know, I wrote about it too. It's gonna sound corny. It's this anime called The Boy and the Beast. Father son stories always get me messed up, and that one is pretty much like this kid runs away from his family because like his mom and dad are getting divorced or whatever. Mom dies, so he's kind of out on the street. He goes into this like realm of like anthropomorphic beast people, like animal people, and he starts like training in like kung fu and like all this other type of stuff with this like bear guy, and he becomes like his adopted son, and then like all this stuff, and I was crying at the end of it. Really great film though, amazing animation.
What's it called again?
The Boy and the Beast. Yeah, it's by this guy who used to do a lot of films for the Digimon series. That's mine.
Thank awesome. You. That's awesome.
All right. So if you, again, want to add your perspectives, like what you heard on naming it, give us a call at 607-YOU-NAME-IT, or that's 607-862-6348. Leave us your Twitter handle and share your thoughts.
Yeah. And for details about the topics mentioned on this episode, check out our website, namingitpodcast.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Naming It Podcast.
And Dap, you want to shout out your websites and social media handles?
Yeah, sure. Dap is dope, DAPISDOPE. That is Twitter and Instagram, only place you can find me. If you don't like that, sucks for you. Reallydope.com, that's REELYDOPE. Again, that's REELYDOPE, oneword.com. And then, at Really Dope on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, Visco. We're kind of everywhere. So come find us.
Right. Cool. As always, we love to hear from our listeners for reviews. So you should know you can hit us up with a review on what? Blog Talk Radio, Podbeam, iTunes.
Yeah. Mostly iTunes.
iTunes.
Yeah. It's corporate. It's problematic. But at the same time, it helps us to get out there for more people to hear us and to amplify the voice. And we will shout you out. You know, like we have 26 reviews and 26 shout outs to people who gave us reviews.
And this is the 26th episode.
There you go. Symmetry. So where can we find you?
Find me at Twitter at Lamisha Hill.
All right. And I'm at DRBF Palmer.
And as always, we want to give a special, special shout out to music on Naming It provided by Lee England Jr.
The Soul Violins. So that's it, right?
Episode 26.
All right.
Snap, snaps.
In the books.
Oh!
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, Bedford.
Don't ever say I'm not nice. All right.
Keep naming it, y'all.
Keep naming it. Peace.